When you think of wargaming, what probably comes to mind is men with big sticks pushing pieces across a board. But that is only a small part of the story. I'm Anna, and this International Women's Day, I'm going on a deep dive into strategical thinking and the influential women who have contributed to the industry from World War II until today. A good place for us to start is by nailing down a good definition of what wargaming is. Emma Barossa is a researcher at the Hoover Institution at Stanford in the United States.
Wargaming is a 1v1, 2v2 kind of player-based game simulating a crisis or a certain situation that policymakers, government, organizations can learn from. And so it's really a way for institutions to test out certain ideas and situations.
But what does wargaming mean in defense? Tess Butler is the CEO of Ruddy Nice, a wargaming studio in Salisbury.
Wargaming is a tool that you can use for training and for education purposes for any subject. You can use it for decision support, and a lot of the senior team and leaders will use this for decision support and operational analysis.
Now we know what wargaming is, I want to know when women started getting involved. Emma, who specialises in the history of wargaming, says women were brought in to gather and record the data.
Mostly, we've seen in history a lot of men in powerful positions, and people playing war games are usually the decision makers. But a critical component of a lot of war games is the data we get from it, right? So if someone makes this move, we need someone recording that. And so we see women start to enter the wargaming space as the note takers, the people watching the war game happen, the people recording it. And I think the best example is the WATU Wrens.
WATU stands for the Western Approaches Tactical Unit, and the WATU were an all-female group that supported the British military efforts during World War II. But why create the WATU? Well, picture this scene. It's 1942, and there is a major battle going on in the Atlantic between the Allied powers and the Axis powers, with the Axis coming out on top because of their U-boat strength. Understandably, this was pretty bad for Churchill, who was taking significant losses to resources. So Churchill had this cunning plan and tasked a man named Captain Gilbert Roberts to run the WATU unit, making their sole mission being to get rid of the U-boat threat. Emma told me more about the woman Roberts appointed to his unit.
Captain Gilbert Roberts decided to staff it with all women. And so we see this incredible wargaming unit come out of World War II, where it's staffed by this one guy at the top, and then all the note takers, all the wargamers are women. And he found women that were savvy in math and statistics, good with numbers. And so he has people like Janet Ockel and Jean Laidlaw taking notes as these men are wargaming in real time.
Two key names were mentioned there, Janet Ockel and Jean Laidlaw, who were crucial at creating strategies such as Operation Raspberry to protect Allied convoys in the Atlantic. Lauren Shacklady from the Western Approaches Museum started by explaining how the convoy system worked.
So essentially with the convoy system, the merchant ships would set sail in a large group because it was more safety in numbers. We knew that the U-boats were operating in wolf packs, as they called them, in groups. So when we sent the merchant ships out, they didn't have the capability to defend themselves against these U-boats. So with every group of merchant ships that set sail, we gave them an escort of Royal Navy ships with the weaponry and the technology on board that was needed to kind of counteract that U-boat threat. Operation Raspberry, essentially, instead of traveling to the side of the attack, the escorts would stay in situ, and then they would perform triangular sweeps inside the convoy because they realized that the U-boats were getting into the convoy in the middle of the night on the surface of the water, so they had to act as if the U-boats were within. And it was named so by Jean Laidlaw, as in her words, it was like them blowing a razz of contempt at Hitler because they'd figured out how their U-boats were operating.
Another Wren who has an infamous legacy is Janet Ockel because of the David and Goliath victory she had when taking on an admiral in a war game. Emma Barossa is a researcher at Stanford University.
Janet Ockel also helped create these tactics, but she's a little more well-known because Admiral Kennedy Horton, who was one of the directors of these anti-submarine tactics for the British Navy, came in one day and wanted to play a war game. and Captain Gilbert Roberts, instead of pitting him against another escort commander, decided to pit this very high-level guy against Janet Ockel, a Wren. And she ended up beating him with the new submarine tactic that her and Laidlaw had created. And it was a huge crush to his ego, but she just kind of proved that, you know, these tactics really work and they can beat you and they can beat the Germans.
Jean Laidlaw giving Hitler the raspberry and Janet Ockel defeating Admiral Kennedy Horton may feel somewhat like a victory for women's rights, but this wasn't the time for celebration. Christian Lamb is one of the last surviving Wrens who served in the Second World War. She oversaw plotting and operations during the Battle of the Atlantic and told me a gripping story of how she watched the ship carrying her husband John weave its way through German U-boats.
I knew if I was not in the plotting room hearing the news as it came in, I would not be able to put it out of my mind. I would only be able to assume the very worst. It was better for me to be there in the thick of it. I know I was expecting a fraction of the fear that John and his crew must be facing, but having just secured this man, I was truly worried that I might now lose him.
Luckily, Christian's husband John survived the Atlantic crossing. Her story adds to the legacy of Wrens that played a vital role in the Allied victory. I asked Emma if gender norms were reinstated in the years after the war.
In the 50s and 60s, women are still taking notes and the administrators. So that still goes to show that there was a long path to be paved.
It's a bit depressing that these women went back to their roles as just the note takers. But since then, both technology and women's rights have developed dramatically. Women now serve as equals in the British forces, and more funding is being dedicated to artificial intelligence. Now, AI in wargaming has sparked much debate, particularly around bias, because you can have a conscious bias, meaning that the game maker purposely programs the AI to favour a certain outcome, or an unconscious bias, one where the game maker unknowingly imparts their views on the AI. To help with my research, I attended a digital wargaming day and spoke to Kieran, a game developer at Code Wizard.
AI will always end up being biased in some way. But a lot of the AI community and what we're currently learning, you kind of do want to have some bias in your AI to prevent it from doing certain actions. For instance, if you as a military force value the long form of your unit, you want to keep as many units alive, you're going to preemptively train and put rewards in for keeping units alive as long as possible. So you're coming at it with a bias, but normally it's good to just understand what your bias is.
Jess Holliday works closely with AI and has a slightly different view on bias, because a game maker can unknowingly program AI to dismiss underrepresented demographics. With defense being a more male-dominated industry, women tend to fall victim to this.
Echo chambers are such a threat. I think a threat to wider than just defense, but particularly in wargaming. Diversity of thought and diversity of people is such a benefit. Events such as this, which are promoting women in this space and women in defence, is really important to combat those biases, because without the right people in the room, a lot of those biases go unnoticed.
But it's not all doom and gloom when it comes to AI in wargaming. Both Jess and Kieran agreed that AI is having a positive impact on defence. For Jess, digital wargaming provides a fail-safe environment.
I think digital wargaming is a brilliant thing at the moment. If you did this out in the field, it would cost millions of pounds and you wouldn't necessarily have the same easy-to-fail scenario. I think digital is so accessible to the industry as well. What we're using AI here for today is to play that hostile, the red force, the baddie for people who aren't particularly into wargaming. And it challenges you, and it challenges you in a dynamic way. But that AI it's slightly more competitive. It's learning, and it reduces that human burden. You're taking away the manual piece that is a time drain but not a benefit giver. AI is your kind of your friend that you're going to give a helping hand to.
And for Kieran, it is another form of diversity in the industry.
I think a really interesting point is when military personnel go and play these games, they come at it with their knowledge and everything that they have for the military, But when you have people who don't understand war and they play war games, they can sometimes outperform the military. And that's because we're coming at it with unconventional ideas or things that aren't normally thought of. And it's the same thing with AI. AI is basically doing things that we would never think to try.
It seemed to be unanimous that having a hybrid approach when using AI in wargaming was the best option. Let's now look to the future of wargaming with Tess Butler, who runs a wargaming studio in Salisbury. Tess told me about the research she conducted for her PhD.
My PhD is looking at how different demographics think differently and what is that impact into national defence and security? Like, is there a positive impact? And if there is, and there is from our research, let's do it. So this was funded by the Foreign Office, and we basically ran 1,000 hours of strategic wargaming, and we ran multiple games where we looked at single-sex games, all male and all female, and we did mixed gender. And the output of that was that if you employ women, it could actually be cheaper in a conflict situation because you'll resolve it sooner than if you employ all male teams.
But how did Tess come to this conclusion? She tested how quickly her participants could resolve two theoretical situations, release of hostages and agreeing on an island's independence. Each group took turns until they all agreed on a solution. And it's this number of turns that Tess was interested in.
All male teams released hostages at turn 4, didn't resolve the crisis by turn 6. Mixed gender teams, providing they were 40% female or higher, released hostages at turn 3, resolved crisis at turn 4. That all female teams released hostages at turn 2 and resolved crisis at turn 3. However, there is a caveat. They took 4 times as long to discuss their decision-making than the all-male teams.
So, from this, Tess found that mixed-gendered groups tended to produce more balanced and harmonious strategies. That's encouraging evidence for increasing diversity in defence, but also frustrating when you think of what could have been achieved sooner if women were only given an equal seat at the table. It has been almost 100 years since the all-female Western Approaches tactical unit first started strategizing in Liverpool. And with that in mind, I asked Tess what International Women's Day means for her this year.
International Women's Day for me now means a highlight in the year and a continuation of us supporting younger women into the space, supporting female talent into defence. That also means that you support everybody, because by putting in mechanisms to support women, you support our male colleagues as well.
Like so much of defence and wider society, women's participation in wargaming has often depended on male approval. But from the Wrens strategising during the Battle of the Atlantic, to Tess and Jess shaping the field today, women have always found ways to make space for themselves, approved or not.